This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live. This is Mark Anthony. I'm in for Stu Epperson once again. It's great to have everybody with us today. We've got, before we go into what's going on in the world, and so much has happened just even since Friday when we last sat down and talked, but we've got two amazing guests that are going to come on, perfect timing, what they're going to be talking about. First of all, most of you have heard about Alinsky Tactics. This is a manual that was written by somebody by the name of Saul Alinsky, and he was definitely admired by people like Hillary Clinton, no surprise, Barack Obama, and yes, even Kamala Harris, who is the heir apparent to the nomination. And so this is really important because they've been using these tactics on us for generations, and they've been very, very effective. These tactics have been used by other countries, other dictators, other parties and countries that wish to destroy that country. And so let's just say this. They have been so effective that they have managed to make us feel guilty for believing what we believe. And so I had this gentleman on last Saturday, actually, not long ago, on my show, The Patriot and the Preacher Show. His name is Chris Adamo, and the name of his book is Rules for Defeating Radicals, Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. And so we are going to sit down with Chris, because Chris has put a manual together, literally, and it is worth not only listening to this interview, but getting his book. He has put a manual together of how to counter what they've been doing for decades. And we're going to dive deep into it, because he's going to address something that actually they're using against Christians all of the time. Say, for instance, if you make a comment, for instance, about trans, the trans issue, mutilating somebody's body with surgery and medication to alter who God made you to be, to change your sex. We all know that's medically impossible to do. But if a Christian speaks up and says, well, you shouldn't be doing that to your body, for instance, well, you get called all kinds of names, like you're being hateful. You're not being a Christian. You're supposed to be loving. And what happens, and Chris and I are going to dive into this, is that we spend too much time explaining ourselves to a side that is full of hypocrites, a side that will say anything and everything just to get their goal accomplished. And so what it does is it puts us in a terrible position, making us question our own faith, who we are, in our faith, our identity in this world. And it really, really sets us back from being who we need to be as Christians in this country, a country that is built, as we know, on Judeo-Christian principles. We know that this country came together through miraculous miracles, some of them countless, that happened along the way to make it possible for this country to be free from tyranny. And during that time, it was the Redcoats. It was the British, the strongest, most powerful army on the earth at that time. And here we are now, and we are being manipulated. We're being told that our faith is hateful, that if we speak something from the Bible, that's hate speech. And then we all of a sudden find ourselves defending these ridiculous accusations. So what I'm saying is that Chris and I are going to have a great discussion. We're going to just drill down to the issues that, first of all, how do you handle yourself when you get attacked? When you're being told that you are just way too judgmental. Here's the bottom line about that, is that the most loving thing you can do in this world, whether it's about politics or not, is tell the truth. That's love. That's what love is. And so we're going to dive into that as well. We also have a pastor that's going to be joining us. And I just have to say, we've got so many different stories out there. Everybody's got a testimony. But I will tell you that this testimony is just amazing. Pastor Bristol is going to be joining us to talk about his life, how God transformed his life and kept knocking on his door until one day Bristol had no choice but to follow God's urging. And so he's going to join us to give his testimony and talk about what God has done in his life since that day. And I promise you, you're going to want to hear that as well. So before we go to this break, what we all need to be focusing on right now is don't get caught up in the minutiae, meaning that there are so many lies being thrown out. Gaslighting is what we call it, to get you distracted from what the facts are. And the facts, well, we're going to talk about the facts between now and the end of this show and keep talking about that this weekend on the Patriot and the Preacher Show. But the truth is what's important. Emotions do not matter. It doesn't matter what they say or what they do. Look at their actions, and the results really speak for themselves. Because we're talking about two totally different worlds. I just had somebody tell me they're on the Kamala Harris train to the White House. Well, to be frank, that's a train with a destination of destruction. There is no way that we can have four more years of what this country has just had to endure. And so we're going to be coming right up with Chris Adamo. He is raring to go. We're going to talk about his book. And then we've got a couple of extra guests along the way that I haven't spoken of yet. And guess what? At the end of the show, my trusty sidekick Nick is going to join us. That's right. So this is Truth Talk Live, and we're going to be right back with Chris Adamo, an author that's just going to inspire you to make a difference in this country. So stay with us. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Excuse me, I'm Mark Anthony in for Stu Epperson, and thanks for joining us. You know, before we go to our first guest, Chris Adamo, he's waiting to come on. I've got to bring this up. The opening ceremonies at the Olympics have caused quite a stir. Now, first they told us, don't worry, little Christians. It was really about the Greek gods. That's what that was. But now we know what everybody that, you know, was observing and immediately thought of first. And we know what it was. They finally have admitted, both Paris and the Olympic Committee, that it was a parody on the Last Supper. And so before we go to our guests, I want to let you know we're going to be taking calls for the rest of the show. And I just want to put this out there. 2 billion Christians were insulted. That's our Lord and Savior. Here's what I want to ask you, and just chew on this while we go to our first interview, is this. Can you just imagine with me what would have happened if the Olympic Committee did a parody of Muhammad and his 9 and 10 year old bride surrounding him. What do you think would have happened? We're going to talk about that a little bit with Chris Adamo and much more. But our number is 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. So our first guest right now is somebody that I just think is an amazing person who wrote this book because he knew that God told him to. And I am really grateful that he actually did. Chris Adamo, welcome to the show, my friend.
And thank you so much for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you on. The name of this book is Rules for Defeating Radicals, Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. Chris, the listeners really enjoyed your interview on Saturday. Let's dive into what's been going on. You wrote this amazing book. It's the manual of how to counter everything they've been doing to us. So the first thing I want to touch on, which we've heard people remark on countless times, they are so arrogant. It's their primary motivation, Chris. So explain to the audience as we kind of, you know, dive deeper with each question, why are they so arrogant and why is it a motivation? How does that work in their mind?
Well, for starters, let's look at the leftist ideology and the leftist agenda. It's founded in Marx. It was founded on, I mean, if you read his little red book, it's a pack of lies. It can only be advanced through lies. Okay, so if you start out with a flawed ideology, you can't be honest and straightforward about implementing it. You've got to use more lies and more deceit, and that's exactly what it's all about. And Alinsky took that to the point of making it a strategy. Now, what does arrogance have to do with that? It's this simple. If you have a failed ideology and it's been tried many times and it fails every time it's tried, if you have people who come at it with any sense of humility, any introspection, anything like this, they're going to start asking questions. Why are we pushing something that obviously doesn't work? You've got to supplant that. You've got to blind them. And so what you do is you tell them they are the virtuous ones. They are the enlightened ones. We've heard the term progressive, right? Mm-hmm. All these terms to describe them. And you and I, we're the Neanderthals, we're the hate-built bigots and everything. Well, gee, I don't want to be one of those people. So in order to fit into the herd, in advancing these things, I've got to embrace the orthodoxy. And how do I do that? Well, I just know that I'm a better person than anybody else. And this is the way they use this. They feed you this, they puff you up with this arrogance. And at some point you accept it. And then the fact that reality around you doesn't line up, that's irrelevant. Look at AOC. How much of the time is she totally detached from the real world? And yet she just knows that if people follow her, she's going to implement utopia.
Right. And that's what she keeps promising. She's promising this utopian vision that they all have in their heads. Chris, the other part of it that we've seen time and time again, there's so many examples of it, is the straight out hypocrisy that they use as a strategy, don't they?
Yeah. And again, if you get a fact wrong, you quote something, you misquote somebody or something, and somebody points it out to you, the first thing you want to do is go fix it. Okay, well, because you don't want to be disingenuous or hypocritical in any way. And this is, we tend to presume that this is just normal for humanity. Well, it isn't. Leftists have come to the realization that they can call you out on something and put you on the defensive. Meanwhile, if they're in the middle of doing it and you call them out on it, it's, well, quit your whining. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, they have this leverage. They're always on the defensive, carrying their torch forward. And anytime along the way, they'll point out the little speck in your eye. And if they can convince you that that somehow is something you need to deal with, you're trying to pick up the pieces and prove you're not as bad as they say you are. You're not the evil person that they say you are. Meanwhile, their agenda, which is causing real palpable harm to innocent people, it goes on unabated because you're not busy trying to really stop them. You're busy trying to prove to yourself and to those around you that you're not as guilty as they say you are.
Right.
If they fight a completely offensive fight and we fight completely defensive, they're going to win. It's just a matter of time.
Right. And they have been. And we're exactly. Unfortunately not enjoying. We're seeing the rotten fruit of their labor, and we see it throughout our entire culture now, Chris. And all the way to the
little kids in schools that are suffering abuses that people would have been taken out of the classroom and put in jail for assaulting and abusing little kids with the pornography, with the trans stuff, with the surgical mutilation, et cetera. And it's all because you go all the way back to O'Hare versus the Board of Education, and somebody was offended by the Lord's Prayer. And we, instead of saying, hey, this is the foundation of our nation, we said, well, we don't want to offend you. We'll just back off of that. And so we took the truth out of the classroom, and they supplanted it with lies.
Absolutely, Chris. I can't tell you how much I agree with that statement, because guess what? You know, numbers don't lie unless Democrats can touch them. But the crime rate did go up, okay, as prayer and school stopped. Abortions, right, then were part of everybody's psyche is birth control. We are going to continue with Chris because we have much more to talk about with him. And Chris, when we come back, we're going to talk about how Christians allowed their virtue to be used against them, which completely paralyzes them and they become ineffective, right? We're going to talk about that and much more. Chris Adamo is with us. His book is what you all need, The Rules for Defeating Radicals. We're going to be right back with Chris Adamo. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. I'm Mark Anthony in for Stu Epperson. We're with Chris Adamo. We're going to continue this discussion. Chris, we've talked about this. There is something that happens. Our virtue, our good nature is used against us as Christians, and we are the group that gets paralyzed the most when we are challenged, when we're called names, when we're told we're not being loving as Christians. So let's talk about that. How does that happen?
Well, we can definitely take it back to a failure at the pulpits across America. The Johnson Amendment back in the 50s said that Christians could not discuss politics in church or things like that. And a lot of pastors, fearing losing their tax-exempt status, actually ceded more in the way of truth than even your Christians in persecuted countries like China. What the American pastors did, so many of them, was to spiritualize abandoning discussing these issues. Mm-hmm. And, of course, anytime you leave a void there, a moral spiritual void, the enemy comes right in to fill it. And so a lot of these issues, they just recast them into being political issues, and we didn't talk about it. Psalm 1:1 warns us, and this is one of those scriptures, it doesn't take a doctor of theology to understand what it says. It says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the unrighteous.
Right.
And on that basis, for starters, when you're getting advice from people, you have to look at the condition of the person giving you the advice, whether it's a godly pastor, whether it's a secular school teacher with a liberal agenda, or whether it's the movies or the nightly news. And in all these circumstances, you have to look at who's telling you what is right and wrong. We have failed to do that. And as a result, I had an entire chapter in my book, which I almost added as an afterthought when I was pretty much completed writing it, on our moral certitude. The first thing that the enemy does is destroy your moral certitude. And then he supplants it with his lies. Has God really told you that you will die? And we can take it from there.
Right.
And in the modern culture, we're told by the left on every possible issue, we're told what we ostensibly can and can't care about. The problem is we ignore Psalm 1:1 instead of saying, no, you're a leftist, you're pushing moral spiritual rot. We say, well, gee, I don't want to be seen as a bigot or a homophobe or whatever. And so we start trying to color inside the lines that they lay out for us. And eventually you have a situation like you're describing where they are just on this morally debased rampage.
Right.
And we're playing defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I wanted to cover is that we know one of their, one of their mantras is to mock the other side. They mock us all the time. And we then spend time defending ourselves when we should look at them and say, well, no, you're a baby killer. So your opinion on moral judgment really doesn't matter because of who you are.
That's exactly the response we need to have to that. One of Alinsky's rules in his rules for radicals is he says that mockery is their most powerful weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there's no defense for it. And I've actually had that very thing repeated to me by conservatives, like, we're defenseless against this. It's their most powerful weapon. And my response then and now is only if we let it. We don't have to respond to their mockery defensively. And as you just pointed out there, you know, the attack, the condemnation, we don't have to respond defensively. We have a choice in that. But they have told us we have no defense. And if we believe them, we operate as if we have no defense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what happens. And, you know, before we go, Chris, we have another guest waiting. And we're going to have you back many, many times so that people can really learn about this book. But you can also buy it, everybody. Go out and get it. Chris, here's the one thing that we covered on last week's show I want you to address before we go. Christians are being incredibly meek right now. They're being told that it's better if they just be quiet and don't make any waves. And
it's more loving.
It's more loving. That's the point I was trying to get to. Be loving. Okay, Chris, talk to the audience about what love really is.
Okay, well, first of all, back to Psalm 1:1, love is not what the world says it is. If you see a man who's got blindfolds on and he's stumbling towards the edge of a cliff and he says he's just fulfilling his wishes and his dreams, and if you pat him on the back and say, I love you, brother, as he goes over the cliff, you're not being loving. That's the relationship that so much of the modern church, particularly in America, has with the world around us, because we want them to know God's love, which God's love is frequently admonition and even rebuke. We don't want them to know that. We want them to think we're nice people. And so we pat them on the back and tell them, yeah, I just love you, brother. Go ahead and destroy yourself. Go ahead and kill your baby and go ahead and engage in this perverse surgery that you're never going to recover from.
Right.
I just want you to think I'm a nice person. That's not love. John the Baptist was loving when he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That was the most loving thing he could tell those people in their condition.
Right. And so the most loving thing to do while we follow Christ and we follow what's the message of the gospel is not to sit there and placate somebody, Chris. We need to tell the truth. That's love, isn't it?
That's love. And if you look at in Ephesians, you know, the full armor of God, the sword of truth.
Right.
A sword is not something you pat somebody on the back with. A sword is something you go out and you cut through the lies with it.
Right, right. That's right. So we have, like you said, in that full armor of God, we have our weapons. He's given us our weapons and our ability. And so we just need to stand up and be bold and courageous. That's what the Bible commands us to do. Chris Adamo, it's always great to have you on. And we're going to have you back on this show at some point in the next week. The name of the book is Rules for Defeating Radicals, Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. Chris Adamo, thank you again for coming on to talk about this amazing book. Thank you.
Thank you. Always great talking to you, Mark.
God bless you, sir. We'll talk to you soon. We have a guest coming up right now that's joining us, and he has quite a story to tell. And I always love to have these kinds of stories shared with my listeners. So, Pastor Bristol Smith, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Listen, I've read as much as I could about you. You have quite a story. And at age 15, you had a grand mal seizure, and you almost died.
Yeah.
And so, that's how your life started. And I understand, Bristol, I think most guys do. As I'm reading an article that was written about you, most guys want to go and take their own path. And yeah. So I think that your story, a lot of men can relate to, and I can as well. We make bad decisions. They kind of get compounded. So take us through. You, by the time, if I read this correctly, and then take it from there, it was a long time. You had gone through a divorce, got married again, and by the time you got to 2020, so the audience understands just how bad it was, you had totaled 5 cars.
Yeah.
And the last accident, your wife and your child were in the car, right?
That's correct.
So tell us how in the middle of all this chaos and what you were dealing with in your own life, family dynamics, how did God come in and tell you that you needed to listen to him?
Well, I think in order to properly tell my story, I have to back up to 1997. When my mom was pregnant with me, the doctors actually told mom that I was going to be severely Down syndrome. And pretty much in their words, that I was going to be a vegetable my whole life. And their advice to my mother was to have an abortion. And they said that would be the best option because I wasn't going to have a future. And my mom and dad, who wasn't particularly living for the Lord at the time, they went to the foot of their bed and prayed to God and, you know, and asked God to heal me. And he did. And I wasn't Down syndrome. I'm perfectly fine. And so then in 2004, my dad, who was an alcoholic for most of his life, he got born again by the grace of God here in a local church. And we all started going to church, and I guess that mom and dad, they heard me singing in the back of a car, and they noticed that I could actually sing. And so they, at eight years old, in 2005 is actually when I got born again myself, and they had me singing in church. And so, you know, I knew God. I got saved when I was 8 years old. But when you turn a teenager, you know, you want to do things your own way. You don't want to toe the line, I guess you want to say. And you've got the old saying, you've got the alcohol, you got the women, you've got...
Hey, Bristol, we're going to break. We're going to bring you back so you can finish up your story. This is the True Talk Live. I'm Mark Anthony. We're going to be right back with our guests. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. We are still with our guest, Pastor Bristol Smith. Pastor, let's pick up where we left off before the break. You were just talking to the audience that you had been diagnosed as Down syndrome. Obviously, God healed you. And bring us to the point now in 2020, you're in your 5th car accident, and your wife and son were in that car. What happened after that, Bristol?
So, like I was saying earlier, my teenage years, that's when I really got introduced to alcohol, and that really took control of my life. And in 2020, it was still a big part of my life, and I was just drinking, a lot. And it just got to the point where it was just out of control. And I knew that in 2015 I'd been called to preach, but I was running from it. And my wife was in the car with me. I'd been drinking all day at Neyland Stadium, and we went to watch the Tennessee football game. My wife was at her mom's. And I went after the football game. I was drinking the whole day. And after we left the stadium, I went and picked her up, and we was on our way home, and I just passed out behind the wheel, and I rear-ended somebody, probably going about 60, 65 miles an hour. And the funny part, well, I guess it ain't funny, but we was in a rental car because I had totaled my truck. And so I totaled the rental car as well. And my wife was in the passenger seat and my son was in the passenger seat. My son was in the back. And luckily, we didn't have no injuries. God protected us. He shielded us, especially my son. That was the first thing I thought of, me and my wife both. And so after that, it was just a downward spiral. I lost my license. I lost my insurance. No insurance company would take me. And my back went out and I started going to a chiropractor and, I found out I had scoliosis, but during that time I met a pastor whose name is Thomas Stanton, a great man of God. And, he heard me singing country music while I was in the chiropractor's office. And he said, "Hey, you ought to come up to the church and sing sometime." And I said, "Well, you know, I don't want nothing to do with church. I don't want nothing to do with God. I'm past that." And he said, "Well, just come up here and just do it one time. Do it for me." You know, what I didn't realize was he was trying to get my foot in the door. And right. I went up there and I sung, and the rest is history. That night I came home from church. I felt the Lord tugging on me, but I didn't want to give in. I tried to drink beer to try to get rid of the feeling, and the beer started like burning my mouth. I couldn't drink it, and wow. It tasted sour. And I knew that I'd bought it 2 days before, so I knew it wasn't bad beer. And I couldn't drink it. And I said, "Okay, I'm just going to go to my grandmother's," you know, and like I said, I only took like 2 sips. So you can't smell somebody's breath with that. But I went to my grandmother's and she hugged me and she pulled me back and she said, "You know what you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing it." I've never told my grandmother that God had called me to preach. I'd never told anybody but my brother and a couple of other guys. I never told her, so how she knew is a God thing.
Right.
I came home that night. I got in the bathtub, and while I was trying to relax in the tub and try to, you know, get that feeling off of me, I heard God's voice as loud and as audible as you can get. And his exact words was, and I quote, "If you don't do what I've called you to do, I'm taking you out of here." And I called my wife in the bathroom, and I said, "God just told me, you know, if you don't do what I'm called you to do, I'm going to take you out of here." And my wife looked at me and she said, "I was just thinking the same thing."
Wow.
And I got out of the tub. I put my pajamas on. I went on the front porch of the house right here, which is now a church, actually. And I gave my life to God. And that was in May of 2020. 2 weeks later, I announced my calling to preach. And about 4 months later, I was the head pastor of a church. And I was the pastor of that same church, Thomas Stanton. He stepped down to go to another church, and I took control of it, and I was pastor there for about a year. And I stepped down after a year, and I've started my own church, Shepherd's Cove Church, and we're going strong. So there's a lot more to it, but that's the focal point right there.
Well, Pastor Bristol, I'm really glad you got to come on and share your testimony, and we're going to dive deeper with you next week on my show on Saturday so we can do a little bit more. But thank you so much for sharing your testimony. I'm sure the listeners enjoyed hearing it. And I thank God that you followed his voice, brother.
Well, thank you for having me on. If anybody would like to follow us here at the church, you can find us on Rumble, Shepherd's Cove Church, and you can also find us on Truth Social at Shepherds_Cove1.
Terrific. God bless you, Bristol. Thanks for coming on.
God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Well, what a great testimony. Look how many times God was knocking on his door, and when Bristol finally surrendered, look what happened. Bristol found his purpose, found his calling. You know, I reached out to this guest who is a good friend of mine. She probably was one of my first few guests when I started the Patriot and the Preacher show 11 years ago. And so I wanted the voice of Alveda King to join us because every single time she comes on, she shares her wisdom. Alveda, thank you for coming on. Alveda, can you hear us? Okay. We're having a problem connecting with Alveda right now, but nevertheless, you know, our What we're going to do now, Nick, is that Nick's going to join us. All right, here he is, Nick.
How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, man, it's so good to have you with me, even though you're right next to me. But, you know, I know you love sharing some of your opinions as the show's going on with the other host. And so, hey, Nick, let me ask you something. Like, I know that off and on you pay attention to what's going on, but what did you think? Did you see what happened with that opening ceremony?
I didn't get to see it live, but I did get to see it, like, later on, yeah.
Yeah? So what did you think of that, man?
Personally, me?
Yeah?
This is me. Yeah. I'm an artist. I've done music, and I've been in the arts, you know,
right.
for years. And for that moment, I was able to, and this might make a lot of people, some people.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I was able to separate religion and art,
mm-hmm.
because we have to remember that when the original painting was painted,
right, by Da Vinci,
by Leonardo da Vinci,
yeah.
right. And so I was just able to kind of separate that for five seconds. If you kind of just, you know, take that part out, take the whole religion part out, and just see the artistry, it was actually, in my opinion, it was a good demonstration. It might have been. Like, it might have been presented and maybe wrong.
Right.
What's the expression? I can't think of the expression right now, but you know, that was my thought. And another thing I kept seeing is, you know, people were very offended by the parody of it, but at the same time, you got to remember that there have been thousands and thousands of parodies of The Last Supper.
Yeah.
You know, there have been parodies of cartoons doing The Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
Fast food chains doing The Last Supper, and
yeah.
you're doing and all these type of things. So that's where I am able to kind of separate that part out.
Yeah,
but that's me.
Yeah,
reminder to the viewers: I'm 26. Like I said, I feel maybe the older generation they
right.
might have a little bit problem, but you know, maybe my generation,
mm-hmm.
we're able to kind of separate the art and
faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that. You know, what I asked the listeners, but we're not, I think they're spending too much time listening. They don't want to call in, and that's fine. But
yeah.
what I posed at the beginning of the show was, can anybody here imagine what would have happened, the reaction, if they had done a parody, let's say, of Muhammad with 9 and 10 year old girls in bed. Now, we all understand that, first of all, that would not only be a parody, it'd be factually correct. He did like little girls. He did marry young girls.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is that, do you think the reaction would have been different? Because so far, no Christians had bombed anything. We haven't sought out retribution. Do you think the reaction would have been different if the Olympic Committee chose to parody Muhammad?
I feel like it wouldn't have been different, but
yeah.
it wouldn't have been a different upset. People being upset about it, people
mm-hmm.
would probably most likely still be upset regardless.
Right.
But if you did that, that'd be a whole different situation.
Right. It would.
You know, we'll be having a whole different conversation about it.
Right.
And, you know, it, like I said, just try to separate
yeah.
the two.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I agree with that. You know, the thing is, everybody, is that when, you know, you can separate. The thing is you just look at, like I've said before, behavior and results. And so our behavior, you've seen, we haven't done anything. Christians, we know our God is bigger than all of those insults put together, right? So
mm-hmm.
we don't have to defend him, do we? But we do know, though, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that God will not be mocked. And so I don't have to defend Jesus Christ. He is who he is. He's the only man that walked the face of the earth that was sinless. So I follow him. Now, I do know, though, that a lot of Christians are upset by this, and you know, to be perfectly honest, I think it's a direct hit on Western civilization because
mm-hmm.
Christianity is based on that. That's why we are who we are. That's, you know, our culture. It's who we are. And so I just, you know, there's a stark contrast on the response. But thanks for being with me, Nick. Of that was course. Fun. We're going to do it again.
All right.
All right. Wait. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. And Stu Epperson, thanks for giving me your mic for the day. I'm Mark Anthony. Don't forget to listen to The Patriot and The Preacher Show Saturday at 3 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Truth Talk Live.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.